This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:35 a.m. Monday the 3rd of May, which means that in half an hour or so, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. And this morning, Kusu Chuang is going to be speaking with Wee Eng Kong, Managing Director of Tuju Setia.
Construction services company, that's what they do. And so they're heading for a main board IPO on May 19. Some of their projects, they vary in sizes, Setia Walk, Setia Sky, Residences to St. Joseph International School in Tropicana. So Tuju is looking to raise 56 million ringgit. So I'm really interested to know, is this going to be an IPO to watch, and what's going to be quite special about them? So Kusu Chuang will be speaking to them on his growth trajectory and also expansion plans.
And if you're also interested to find out whether this will be an IPO to watch, tune in later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin to catch that interview. But right now we are turning our attention to the development of 5G, because COVID-19 did accelerate digitalization, spectrum allocations, 5G development have all become even more important as well for wireless communications. But while spectrum is a vital resource for telcos, as it will determine the speed and capacity of an operator's network, it can also be a burden with high investment costs.
That's it. Though Fitch Ratings has noted that while they view spectrum as assets for the telcos to maintain status quo or risk falling behind rivals. So with that in mind and everything else, how does Malaysia's 5G development differ from the rest of the world? And why are countries like China and South Korea ahead of the curve?
To find out, we're speaking this morning with Janice Chong, Senior Director at Fitch Ratings. Janice, thanks so much for joining us today. So we're now seeing uneven 5G development as policymakers across the world have taken varying approaches on spectrum management. How does Malaysia's shared 5G infrastructure framework compare with the more typical spectrum auction method?
The single operator national model in Malaysia, to have the government own and operate a national 5G network through a special purpose vehicle deviates from past practices of awarding spectrum through auction or comparative tender process to private mobile operators. Now, this framework addresses spectrum scarcity, it reduces duplication costs, and also accelerates 5G network rollout. I think the move will intensify rivalry among mobile operators because it is essentially shifting the focus of competition from infrastructure to service innovation, as seen in the national fixed broadband networks in Malaysia, Australia, and Singapore. So I would say that the model is very unique, and we actually see very few examples in the mobile world as compared to what we see in the national fixed broadband network in some countries.
On this note, are there any concerns about Malaysia's use of a special purpose vehicle, Digital National, in this 5G rollout?
Yeah, I think, you know, the single operator model has been, like I said, mostly adopted to provide equal access for fixed line broadband network. Very few examples out there. And that's really because for mobile, because of the ownership of crucial spectrum resources. Now, why is that so? Because mobile operators have made massive investments in acquiring 3G and 4G spectrum. I think DNB will have sole access, right, to the 700 megahertz, the 3.5 gigahertz and the 28 gigahertz frequencies to deploy 5G. So it would also need to fall back on 4G network, which is where the mobile operators will step in to provide 4G coverage. So I think issues with respect to funding, implementation and governance needs to be ironed out. And the question here is really how well can DNB execute this strategy? I think ultimately it really boils down to solid execution.
Looking to other methods used by other nations, how effective have spectrum auctions been as a way to raise government revenue?
Okay, first of all, the spectrum auction can deliver the most economically efficient outcome of a valuable spectrum by allocating frequencies to the highest bidder. Now, the danger is that excessive bidding can also leave telco burdened with high spectrum fees and stretched balance sheet. So we have seen policymakers setting high resale prices to maximize government revenue, topping the mid-band 3.5 gigahertz spectrum. Cost is the United States. Recently, they have auctioned the C-band, and then followed by Taiwan and Italy. The high spectrum cost in Italy was, you know, largely influenced by avoiding fewer spectrum and disproportionate lot sizes. What it does is it induces scarcity and driving prices higher for these spectrum auctions.
Now, interestingly, there are some regulators that have set aside spectrum for entrants or imposed spectrum caps to rebalance competition. So what kind of implications has this had on relevant markets?
Spectrum caps are spectrum restrictions to help ensure that no single operator can dominate large spectrum holdings. The intention is really to promote competition and efficient use of this scarce resource. So aiding new entrants into the market by leveling the playing field, which they would not otherwise have sufficient resource to bid for the frequency. So essentially, regulators use spectrum caps as a tool to influence the market structure and the kind of competition level they would like in a particular market.
Well, speaking about structure, due to the high investment cost, scale is key with 5G rollouts to ensure cost efficiencies. Are you expecting to see more industry consolidation, perhaps more M&As?
Yes, industry consolidation needs to take place, because scale is an important element for 5G. In an environment of subdued growth, intense competition, and high capex ahead of the 5G investment upcycle. So large operators have the best possibilities to acquire a wide range of spectrum bands for 5G. They do have extensive fiber infrastructure, and they are more capable of forming deeper collaboration with industry verticals. So you see, in most mature telecom markets, they are hosting 3 to 4 large mobile network operators. M&As are already taking place around the world. You've seen that in the UK, in Asia, as well as the US.
Now, CapEx intensity in Asia Pacific is amongst the highest, averaging between 20 to 22% of revenue versus the global average of 17%. Janice, is this a material concern?
Well, you know, such high investment costs really, and coupled with customers' low willingness to pay, are major concerns. If you look at other industries, you know, capital spent in developing and launching new products often lead to earnings growth. But the telecom sector, these investments are economic capital maintenance that must be spent to ensure or maintain market share. So the heavy capex burden we are seeing in Asia Pacific means operators are likely to pace 5G investments over the next few years in order to support their cash flow generation.
So South Korea and China are clearly ahead of the game with the 5G development and rollout. How have they managed this despite the concerns such as cost and scale?
These advanced markets have something in common. Number one, government-driven policies creating conducive environment to drive 5G investments. And this includes access to sufficient and affordable 5G spectrum, also promoting collaborative plans with vertical industries. And then the second point is that scale matters, right? In these markets, they are dominated by three large, very large incumbent telcos. They are better positioned to capture the competitive cost advantages in the 5G world. So to truly develop the 5G scale, these countries have also permitted network sharing to reduce the rollout cost.
How instrumental has government policy been in accelerating 5G in South Korea and China?
I think in South Korea and China, they have incentivized deployment through subsidies and tax benefits. Also, releasing timely spectrum, sufficient and affordable 5G spectrum in a timely manner. And also, they have formed 5G plus collaboration, teams and collaborative plans in order to create an ecosystem, bringing the different vertical industries together with the telcos and sort of implementing pilot launches in certain industries. And that's how really they have sort of developed the 5G ecosystem in these two countries.
On the flip side, Janice, which markets or regions are expected to lag behind in 5G developments?
Laggards are typically countries with limited spectrum access through crucial 5G airwaves, and also those still transitioning to 4G services. So some examples like Indonesia, Russia, the Latin America region, for example, they have insufficient access to the mid-band spectrum of 5G, which is a very important band. And also they serve very large population, and at the same time, you know, this valuable mid-band spectrum is still occupied for satellite communications or military use. So the uncertain business case and delayed return on investments are also contributing to the lack of urgencies in these markets to push for 5G.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Janice. That was Janice Chong, Senior Director at Fitch Ratings, giving us a look into the development of 5G technology, as well as how it looks across the region and in several different countries that have utilised different ways of going about it compared to our own, including the more traditional 5G spectrum auction.
Yeah, so I think so much to digest right from her interview, but I think one thing that I took away, the single operator model, like in Malaysia, it's more efficient use perhaps for the market of our size, but it will come down to execution.
It will indeed. So this is something that I think everyone in many countries is watching, and ourselves, we are no different, to see when this starts to roll out here in the country. But right now we are heading into some messages, and then up next, discussing the state of the media in Malaysia with Dato' Ahiruddin Attan, President of the National Press Club, in conjunction with World Press Freedom Day today. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.